Blog Talk Radio.
Do your will. I want to be in the will of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure you do too. Happy New Year to each and every one. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. 2010. Hallelujah. 2010. Thus far into the year. Nothing is guaranteed. Now, what are we going to do that we've made it here? It's God's will that we've made it here. We're in His will. We want to run in His will, walk in His will. We want to make changes. We want to do things differently. Don't you want to see things differently now? Don't you want to try something different? Let's get into His will. Let's start by going and knowing that, just learn how to be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. We're going to spend some time together today, just some worship time. We're going to get some word time. Let's just rejoice and know that, be still and know that He is God. I'll be right back with you. Enjoy. Be still.
Be still and know that He is God. There is no other.
Going to Big John. Big John, New Testament, John chapter 10, starting at verse 10. John chapter 10, starting at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flocks and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. That's willingly. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. We've just read Big John 10:10-17. Let's just read one more time from 17-18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. John 10:10-18. God bless the hearers of the word. God bless the doers of the word. Hallelujah. God bless the reader of the word. We come to you in prayer, Lord. We bow our head, dear Father, and say thank you. We come to you with thanksgiving, dear Father, in our mouth, thanksgiving in our hearts, and we praise you with our tongues because you're worthy of all the praise. We thank you, Jesus, for showing us your direction and pulling us and leading us, dear Father, pushing us and pulling us, turning us around and putting us in the right direction to get to 2010. Hallelujah. The year 2010. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, a lot of us wanted to give up and didn't even want to even come, but you had to push and nug and tug and turn and speak to us, Jesus, and lead us. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers, dear Father. Oh, dear Father, we thank you for your vision. Thank you for your vision. Thank you for your vision, dear Father. Someone was lost, dear Father, without your vision. But I thank you, dear Father, for the hope in their heart that they have right now because of your vision. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your vision. Thank you for speaking to us and letting us know your voice. Someone started 2009 and they knew not your voice, dear Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But that same people right now, dear Father, are following your voice. And I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone is starting 2010 and they know not your voice. They know not your directions that they are to be leading into to get to your righteousness, to your pathway. But hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for obedient spirits. Thank you for speaking to us, dear Father, that we may open up and be obedient and speak your word to your people. That any that is searching will find you. Any that is seeking will find you. Your word says, knock and the door shall be open. Hallelujah. So whatever those situations is, we thank you, Jesus, that we can knock. And you will open those doors for us, Jesus. And you will give us the answers. And you will show us the way. And you will be the director of our lives, dear Father. All we have to do is surrender. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have the authority given to you by your Father, that you willingly lay down your life for us, and that you have the same authority that you picked it up again. Hallelujah. That where you may be, that we may be also one day. Dear Father, I ask your blessings over our lives as come some that were non-believers today come to be believers. Some that was non-baptized today come and be willingly to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just standing boldly saying, I give back my sinful life. Wash me and cleanse me whiter than snow. Rise me up again that I may walk with you, surrendering the world behind me and my Father and your presence before me. Wrap your loving arms around me. I'm a new babe in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm cleansed and I still will fall, but I know now that you will pick me up. I have declared the word, and I have declared baptism over my life, that I want to surrender all and be with you. In the mighty name of Jehovah, may I decrease and you increase. Speak your mighty word to your people. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our ministry. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, Tri-Anointed Ministries, I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. So glad to be in the presence of the Lord today to say that I am a part of 2010. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to look back and reflect on some of the things that I did in 2009, the seeds that I've sown in 2009, and a lot of those things that we're going to be now reaping. The harvest is ready for a lot of those things. It's just a praise. It's hallelujah time to just know that a lot of those things that we've sown over now that the harvest is ready. The harvest is getting there where we need it to be, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. So as I sing praises with you, I rejoice with you as you go through 2010 with new hopes, more seed to be sown that's going to lead you through, some to the end of this year or the middle of this year, some for your future in 2011. Don't forget to sow into good ground as we continue to live. We look back and see, who did I spend 2009 with? Did I spend 2009 with people that was going to be progression in my life? Did I spend 2009 with people who was just going to sit around and feed my ego, just make me look good, say what I want to hear? Or did I spend 2009 with people who was actually going to rough up my feathers and tell me something that I may not want to hear? That would better me, not to down me, that would better me, that would up, show me, reveal some things to me that I'm trying to cover up. In 2009, was I in places that would be godly, that if God was to come back and have saw me, he did see you, but if God had came back and chose that time and said, your time is up, is that the place where you would have wanted to be found? Were you doing the things in 2009 that you wanted God to come back and and open up the skies, and then there you are. Is that where you wanted to be? Were you doing what you wanted to do? It's not by happenstance that God has allowed you to be into 2010. Hallelujah. So don't think that this is just another traditional year. Don't think that you're going to be able to go and do the things that you did in 2009. If you was wicked then and you think that you're getting ready to be even stronger in your wickedness for 2010, believe me, from the word of the Lord, there's a change coming. Things will be different. It is time to get right. We're just closer, 1 year closer to seeing him face to face. 1 year closer before the whole world will have to behold, for Jesus Christ is coming. Hallelujah. This is the year you have another opportunity. So you may have celebrated and you may have danced and partied, and you may have just done nothing. But if you did not give God praise for the opportunity to be in 2010, believe me, you're one day closer to when every knee will bow and every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So where will you be? What will you be doing? Will you be one of the ones running to him saying, Father, Father, it is I? And will he be the one speaking to you, it is you who did nothing of my will? It is you who was not obedient to get out and save a sin-sick soul. How many will be lined up behind you that you have told the word to? How many souls have you saved for the Lord? How many times have you edified the glory of the kingdom of God? This is your opportunity. Be still and know that he is God. Regardless of where you're at, you should look around and say, thank you, Jesus. Where I'm at, what I have. Thank you, Jesus. I want to do better. God, I want to do better. I surrender to all the things that have stopped me in the past. I want to do better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I lay my hand in a special blessing on all smokers right now today. All smokers. I've received some dazzling emails about, you know, it seems like when it comes through, it just kind of floods through. It's been about smokers. Been a lot of smokers who really want to lay this thing down, who really want to move forward and at least come over that hurdle. They want to see themselves jump over that hurdle. And some of these people have stopped before. They thought they cleared the hurdle, but they found out as years went by that their whole body hadn't got over it because they still end up falling down to it again. But they said, now I want to do this here once and for all. It's other things in my life. Other people are saying that, you know, the same struggles I've been struggling with all of my life, and I can testify to this. They said, I'm tired of that. If I'm going to keep on falling, I want to fall into some new potholes. I'm tired of stumbling and falling over the same issues year after year after year after year. I'm never getting anywhere. I'm not conquering anything. I'm just moving past it a little bit. I'm moving it beside me to the side that I don't have to look at it as much, but I'm never getting past this object. I'm never getting past it. We're going to be still and know that he is God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that he is God? If you believe him, are you willing to be baptized? Are you willing to do as he even had his own son do? He said, we're all born into sin. Are you willing to be baptized? Just bury the sin for man. And say, I know that with you, I have a chance now of overcoming some of these hurdles. So when I rise up, I just rise up with you being proud of me. With you saying, thank you for just witnessing to the world that I want to be better. I want to achieve more. So when you and you and you and you look out and you see a person of Christ who's trying to follow and live a Christian life, and you see them sin, and you blast it, and you put it in the papers, and you put it on the news, and you said, look at the pastor's son and what he's done, and look at the evangelist's daughter and what she's doing. Don't you know just the fact that they have witnessed? That's what we're all about. We are a hospital for the sick. For we know that we are a sinful spirit. That's why we want to be baptized. That's why we want to be washed. That's why his mercies are renewed to us daily. So you shouldn't be shocked that when the pastor or when we live a life, this is still flesh. So So we need him. That's why we need him. That's why we declare that we need the Lord. Because we understand that we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect, but we are looking towards perfection. He is our perfection. And we daily need to come to him and pull from his perfection that it may wrap our lives. And so to the sin that we committed today, tomorrow we don't have to commit that same sin. See, the difference is when you, who has not confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're just committing that over and over and over and over again, and the rim gets higher and higher and higher. But you're digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper. And you have no one to catch you when you fall. You know not no one to call upon your times of sorrow. But regardless of whatever mistake it is that we make, we have a Father that we can come with sincereness in our hearts and ask that he pull us up out of that depth, whatever it is. Shake off the drugs all off of me. Shake it off. And we know he's able to do it. If we really have a sincere heart, we know that whatever the fornication may be, that he can cleanse us from that. The good Samaritan. The Samaritan woman. Hallelujah. Why did he choose her? All of those in her town, they would have never have chose God to speak to her. But Jesus said, I bless who I want to bless. He said, I know this woman's going to be a seed. I know that she's going to be able to speak out and speak up. The seed I sow into her life is going to flourish the whole Samaritan people. It's going to give an opportunity for the Samaritan people to come and reunite with the Jews and believe in Jesus, believe in God. Hallelujah. So the person you're looking at and putting your head down and you're saying, I don't go to church because of what this person has done, and I don't believe in God because of this and because of, look at the mistakes that they're doing. Following Christ doesn't mean that we're robots, that we're no longer flesh. We still have flesh in our bones. Hallelujah. So something that we used to abuse, if you continue to watch that person that's following Christ, that has a leader, you must have a head covering over your head. You can't follow Christ and just say it out of your mouth. You've got to have a leader. You've got to have someone that you're following. You've got to have a mentor. You've got to have someone that's praying for you, praying that you accomplish the thing that defeated you last year. But if you continue to watch that person's life, the thing that you're so proud of today that they made a mistake in that area, you will see them strength becoming to them. Hallelujah. For those that wait upon the Lord shall mount up like eagles. They shall renew their strength. That means they're going to get stronger in that area that they was weak in. That same area that you blasted all to everyone and you told everybody about all the sinful things that they was doing. That same area, you shall be able to see them gain strength in those areas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will not get wearied or tired because they have strength that they continue to gain upon. And if they get their strength from our one who is perfect, the perfecter, our Jesus Christ, our creator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God just wanted that point just to be across because I feel like somebody is being criticized right now. Hallelujah. Someone is being told, why are you still doing this? You can't get over that demon. You've been battling this here for years. I ask you right now, give up your battle and say, God, this is yours. Every time you get ready to do whatever it is that thing is, say, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am trying to be harder. My flesh is desiring me to go into this wicked place, to do this thing that is not of you. But I still surrender to you, Jesus. Even though I put this in my body, even though I'm going into this fornication, dear Father, I'm asking your strength. Forgive me of this sin. And he will give you that strength. And you will see yourself beginning to show the times that it's passed by that when your flesh asks to have this, before you even recognize it, you're not even acknowledging it. You don't even turn around anymore now. You pass by that street. You change your way to go home. You don't even go in that direction anymore. Because God will give you strength if you ask. If you want to be stronger in that area, he will give it to you. Hallelujah. Because the sin body that you was born into, now that you're baptized, it gives you an opportunity to remember to connect with the Holy Spirit. So have you ever wondered what baptizing is? Have you ever just wondered what is baptizing? What is baptism about? Have you ever wondered if you must be baptized in order to be a Christian? Those are some important things that may come to your mind. Let's take a look at Matthew's New Testament. Matthew's, and we're going to go to the third book. And let's start at verse 11 of Matthew's. And we're talking about John, the preparer, who came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. So, again, we're in Matthew, the New Testament. We're in the book of the third book. And we're going to start with the 11th chapter, the 11th verse. 11 says, I baptize you with water for repentance. You must repent. It's just saying, I repent of my sin, that I acknowledge that I am a sinner. It's a lot of times you will look and say, well, how do you think you're better than me? It's not a betterment, but it's just recognizing that I was born into sin. I was born a sinner. I don't care how cute that baby is. That baby is born into sin. And so it's saying that John said, I baptize you with water for repentance. He said, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. That's in 11. Let's look over a little bit now, and let's go just down a couple of verses. Let's go to 13. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. 14 says, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied in 15 and said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So what is baptizing? What is baptism? Have you ever wondered if you needed to be baptized in order to be a Christian? Jesus himself said, in 15, let's read it again, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John said, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on it. And verse 17 says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. After what? After he was baptized. So if Jesus tells us that this is the thing that we should do to fulfill all righteousness, then who are we to contest it? Who are we to say that we do not have to be baptized? If we want to do the right things, if we want to be true Christians, if we want to live righteously, if we want to make it easier for us, life is a struggle as it is. I think we can all agree with that. So let's try to do the things in the right way that he will have us do them. Hallelujah. God is love. God is love. My spirit just wanted you to remind you that God is love, and God loves you. Hallelujah. He came to give you life more abundantly. So those are the things we're looking for. We may be looking for them in the wrong places sometimes, but we're looking for life more abundantly. We're looking for the abundance in our life. We may be looking, to for drugs to give us that abundance. We're looking for that joy, that high. We're looking for that. And he comes to remind us that he comes to give us that. So we need to just follow in his directions to get those things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We should be thanking him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's look on down now. We're going to go to 1 Peter. So we were at Matthew, so we're going to just drive real fast and go to the right and go all the way. Before we get to 2 Peter or 1 John, we're going to stop at 1 Peter, and let's see what Peter has to say for us today. Peter, we're going to go to the third book and then verse 21. So 1 Peter, and we're going to go to the third book and to verse 21. Hallelujah. All right, and read. In verse 21, it says, "And this water symbolizes baptism, that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 22 says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." Hallelujah. So again, it says the water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is your resurrection from, not from the dirt from your body, because you still have to bathe daily, twice daily in some circumstances. Because this body is made of dirt. And so it's still, we have to wash away layers each day, because it'll just accumulate, because that's what it's made of. It does what it's made of. Hallelujah. But this is the water, the baptism actually, it saves you. It symbolizes the baptism that now saves you in a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let's write those down. So now we'll go back. We have Matthew 3:11, Matthew 3:13-17, and we have 1 Peter 3:21. 1 Peter 3:21. So as we write those down, we remember that John was a man, baptized Jesus, the Savior of all humanity. Is that right? John was a man, baptized Jesus. Does it sound a bit ironic to you? Does it sound just a bit ironic? It did to John the Baptist. And he told Jesus so. That's what we just read. He told Jesus so. But Jesus wanted to stress the importance of baptism. And he wanted to leave us a model to follow. So what? He was baptized. He wanted to be that model for us. So he was baptized. Jesus didn't need forgiveness. He was perfect. He didn't need forgiveness. But he followed the will of his Father, which included baptism. Hallelujah. A marriage commitment begins with a ring, the perfect circle, non-ending, no beginning, no ending. The couple publicly commits to each other. Hallelujah. And then at the ceremony, the couple declares, "I'm no longer my own, but I am married." See, baptism announces that you are no longer your former independent self. Baptism announces that you have chosen a relationship. Baptism announces that you want to take the name of Jesus Christ and you are a Christian. Hallelujah. So let's say it one more time. Now, when we put it together with the marriage, it's kind of easy sometimes to visualize it. Because we all know when we go to weddings, we're going because the two couples are announcing to all of their guests that they're no longer their independent self, that now they are going to be married. They're going to be joined together. They're going to become as one. Hallelujah. She's going to leave her maiden name. She's going to take on something new. He's going to leave just fending for himself now. He's going to take on that he's responsible for this woman. So together, they're going to become one. They're going to become a new household. So the same thing is with baptism. Baptism is just an announcement, okay? And it announces that you're no longer your formal, independent self. It announces now that you have chosen something that you were chosen to do. You have made the decision that you have chosen a relationship and that you take Jesus' name, and his name is Christian. You want to be a Christian. You want to be Christ-like. Hallelujah. Serious stuff, isn't it? This is some good stuff. So you can see now why God opened up the skies when his son did this as an example for you. How he just opened up the skies and he just said, this is my son for whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. So now just look at you. That's what he's doing for you. You are his son, and he is well pleased in you. You are his son. You are his daughter, in whom he is well pleased. Glory be to the name of God. Baptism is a blessing. Let's say it again. Baptism is a blessing. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. It's not a burden. You shouldn't look to say, oh, well, maybe one day. I may choose to. It's a privilege. It's an honor for you to be baptized. Baptism is a blessing, not a burden. It's an honor, not a chore. Not something that you'll get around to. It's a honor, not a chore. It's a privilege, not a punishment. Hallelujah. By obeying Jesus' command to be baptized, now this is not something that he recommended. This was his command. And by obeying Jesus' command to be baptized, you symbolize or symbolically die to sin. Hallelujah. You symbolically die to sin and are reborn with Christ. And that is the good news. Reborn to Christ. Must be born again. Hallelujah. So now all of the things now that you've been hiding behind and said, I'm no good because my daddy was no good. You know, I have this problem because my mama always had this problem. My mom was, you know, I was a drug baby. My mom did drugs when I was carrying me. My daddy was a thief, so, you know, he taught me how to be a thief. Whatever it is now, those have been revealed. You have to repent and throw those away. You no longer can hide behind any of the things that your mother and father did to you. None of the things that you are doing in your life now, you could not hold up and say that I'm doing them because of something mommy and daddy did. Granddaddy and grandpapa did. Grandma used to do this. This is how it is. Why? Because it tells us, during baptism, remember that blessing we was talking about? Baptism, been a blessing? You know that honor we're talking about? Remember, it's not a chore, but it's an honor. Baptism, it's not a burden, it's a blessing. It's not a punishment to you, it's a privilege to you. And you're just obeying Jesus' command. Remember, it's a command by Jesus that we must be baptized. Remember, you symbolically died to sin. And once you died to sin, that means that you died to all of the things that mama and daddy put up on your life. All of the things that mama did while you were in the womb. All of the things that daddy taught you that was not right. Now you die to all of that. Symbolically, you die to all of that. And when you rise up out of the water, you are reborn with Christ. Christ is perfection. What? You are reborn into what? Perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting this right now. Somebody understanding right now that this is an honor. This is a privilege. This is a command. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody right now is listening to the wrong word. Hear me from the Spirit. Somebody said, but I don't want to let go. I'm enjoying where I'm at. So if I get to do that, then I can't stay over here and sin and do what I want to do over here. All is not going into the kingdom of heaven. All would not be able to dwell in his holy place. It's your choice. Remember, this is your choice. You may choose to die and with demonic spirits capturing you. But they care not about you either. They have no love for you. Why do you think that they want you to get tore up and do all the demonic things? Why do you think they keep sending you back over here to fornicate with each and every person? Because they want to fill your body with sin. They want to fill your body with diseases that will take you out and horrid pain as you go out of here. Why do you think that they want to pollute your body and put you behind the wheel of your car and tell you that you're okay to drive? Because they want you not only to kill you, but they want to steal someone else's life as you hit. Hallelujah. He said, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. Not just from you, but all that he can impact. If he can impact five different crashes and just from you starting it. That's what he wants. If you being dead will impact your child's life and the way that they live their life, then fine. That's glory to the kingdom of the demonic spirits. But who are you? Look at yourself and see. Are you that weak? Are you ready to stand and say, I know I got to be stronger than this? God, I don't know if I can do this or not, but I know with you all things are possible. So I don't want to be the one that crashes and destroys thousands of people's lives just for me, the choices I've made. So God, I surrender to you. Help me make the stand to do it now, to make a step towards you now. I want to be in your righteousness. I would love to see myself loved. I would love to look in the mirror one day and say, I love the person I'm looking back at. I love what I'm seeing out of that mid-reflection. It's no perfection here, but I love that person. Somebody needs to just learn to love you. Learn to love yourself. And just, you have to begin with God. You just have to begin just with following him and just coming clean with him, being real with him. God, I just don't like it. I feel like no one wants to be around me because I don't like being around me. We have to look and see. I look at myself, and there's many things that I want to change and better myself, but you just have to start with saying, God, teach me. Show me how to love myself. Because show me how to look at myself in the eyes that you're looking at me at. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Before nothing else had went on, it's kind of hard to fathom that. But if it only was you in this world, if it was only Vaughn, the only one here, Jesus Christ still would have laid down his life for me, just for me. He still would have been beaten and abused and lied on and scandalized, just for me. Think of your deepest friend, the person that says that they like you. Think of the family member, whoever it is. Would they have gone through all of that just for you? But Jesus said, you haven't even acknowledged that you even know me yet. It's your choice now. I did this way before you were even thought of being born, that you thought of or your parents thought of. I already laid down my life for you. I've already shed my blood for you. I've already gave you the command to be baptized. Will you choose to follow me? Will you choose to follow me? Will you take the privilege? Will you take up on that honor? Baptizing is a blessing. Paul said in Acts 19:4, let's just take a look at that real quick. We're still in the New Testament. So we were in 1 Peter. Let's just turn around and back up, go backwards. So we're going back to the left, and we're going to go to the book of Acts and then go to the chapter of 19. And let's just skim down on verse 4 and take a look and see what Paul had to say about baptism, okay? So now we were in 1 Peter, still New Testament. So we're going in reverse. We're going backwards, back up until we go into Acts. When you get to Acts, pull over around chapter 19, and let's just walk down a couple blocks to verse 4, all right? And so now Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. You're repenting that you are a sinful nature, that you were born into sin, right? That's the way we spoke of. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus himself. Verse 5 says, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul places his hand on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There are about 12 men in all. But our verse that we're looking at here is verse 4. When Paul reminds us that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and he told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus himself. So the baptism is repenting that we were born into a sinful nature and that we believe that the perfection is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is our hope for our future, for our tomorrow, if he's our strength, if he's our El Shaddai, if he's more than enough in our life, then whatever areas that I'm weak in, I have a perfecter. Hallelujah. So when you look at the Christian person and you see what they've done wrong again, it's in the news. This one has sinned again. This person's child has done this again. Remember, though, they're not lost. They were not without hope because they have a perfecter. So whatever area it is that they're weak in, all they got to do is reach up. Open your arms, just like my little grandbaby. When she wants somebody to hold her, she stretches her arms up towards you. She gets your attention. She makes sounds. She waves her hands. She do whatever she needs to be done to get your attention and say, I need some help. I need you to hold me right now. Hallelujah. I need your strength right now. And that's where we are. Hallelujah. I don't care how old you are. Step right now. Whatever your area of sin is, God, I need you. I seek after you. I run after you. I want to read your word daily. I want to take some time every day just to close myself up and just say, Jesus, Jesus, here I am. Hear my cry, oh Lord. Talk to me, Jesus. I don't know what else to say, but I'm just going to sit here until you speak to me, Jesus. I'm just going to call your name until I feel your presence around me. And then I just want to just open my life out to you, Jesus. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I lied again today. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sitting here. I'm drunk again today. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm fornicating again today. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ran away from my responsibilities again today. Whatever it is, Jesus, I'm asking you. Oh, I just need you to hold me. I need you to wrap your mighty arms around me. You are my perfecter. Hallelujah. I need to draw from you, Jesus. I need your strength. I need your healing, Father. Hallelujah. I'm weak in this area, dear Father. My weakness is destroying my generations under me to come. Oh, dear Father, I don't want to pass my sins on to my kids. I don't want to pass this thing on to my loved ones, the person I look daily and say I love. I don't want to pass it on. God, I need you to heal me. I need you to set me on your pathway of righteousness. I need you, dear Father, to hold me. I'm lonely, Jesus. This lonely thought is making me do evil things. It's making me run to evil ways. The world is all around me, and the popularity of the world is telling me to go to the left, go to the left, to the left. But I know your word is leading me to the right, and I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of trying to run from your word. I'm tired of trying to drown out your word. I just surrender it all to you, Jesus. I'm looking at more than just me now. I'm looking at generations that I never see on this earth, but it's generations that's going to come after me that has been based on me right now. What I'm doing right now, the choices I'm making right now, is somebody's life is going to be made decisions on what I'm doing right now. And Jesus, I know this is more than just about me. So I want you to take a little old me, and I want you to every day give me more strength. Every day, show me your mercies, Jesus. No, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want you to use me. And I'm going to start right now by being a believer. I'm going to start out 2010. The year 2010, I'm going to start it out with something different. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to spend my places somewhere different than I did last year. I'm going to spend my mouth putting up words, different words than I did last year. I'm going to start speaking positive things into me. I'm going to start speaking positive things into me. And then I can expect others to speak positive things into me because I'm speaking positive things into me. And I'm going to start out going places that I hadn't went before. And I'm going to find me a covering, Jesus. You show me where I need to be. Did I need to be covered? I want to be covered, Jesus. Cover me, Lord Jesus. Give me the one that's going to cover me. That's going to be praying for me night and day, not praying against me, but praying for me, night and day, day and night. I want to start meditating on you. I want positive people in my life. I'm going to cry some this year because I'm going to delete some of the things that I thought I needed to have. And it may not be easy, and I may have to shed some tears over them. But I'm willing to do that, Jesus, because I want to be really real with you. I want to be really real with you, Jesus. I want the truthness. And then I want to be baptized. I want to take that privilege of being baptized. It's not a punishment to me. I want to take that honor of being baptized. I don't want to look at it as a burden to me, Jesus. I want to take the honor and not a chore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to obey your commands. And I want to run saying, what must I do to truly be saved? What must I do to truly be in your care, to be in your glory, to be in your honor? What must I do? Hallelujah. I want to be as Paul said. Acts 19:4. John's baptism was a baptism of changed hearts, changed lives. It will change your life. Baptism will change your heart. He told people to believe in the one who would come after him. And that one is Jesus Christ. And he's coming again. Some of the personal applications for you and I to remember is if you have not yet been baptized, if you have not yet been baptized, when can you follow Christ's command? How can you follow Christ's command? You can follow that by being baptized. You can follow that by dying to the sinful nature and being reborn again in Jesus Christ. And if you've already been baptized, then what does your baptism symbolize in your walk with the Lord? What does your baptism symbolize in your walk with the Lord? I want you to take time just to carry this with you throughout the week. If you have not been baptized, remind yourself, think about God's command, Jesus' command to you to be baptized. Believe and be baptized. And if you've already been baptized, carry with you throughout the week. Ask yourself, what does your baptism symbolize in your walk with Jesus? What are you symbolizing? What does it mean? Hallelujah. We spoke about the answers to all of these today. Hallelujah. Let's take a little look here, and we're going to go back. We're going to stay in Acts. We're going to stay in Acts. Remember, when you come to the Bible studies, and when you ever come to listen to Evangelist Vine, I love the Word. So the Word has us going here and there, and it's all about learning. You eventually learn, I know that this book is here, because we move around in the Word, because we believe the Word from the beginning to the end. So we don't, it's not certain parts of it that we do and we don't. We love it all. Hallelujah. So we're staying in the book of Acts, and now we're going to even stay in chapter 2. We're going to go to chapter 2. We were in 19 and 4, speaking about Paul. We're going to go to chapter 2. And we're going to go over to verse 38, and we're going to do 38 and 39, okay? So chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. 38 reads, this is Peter. Okay, so Peter replies, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Let's just read it again. Hallelujah. Not just for you, but for you and your children. For all who are far off, you're far away from the Lord. You're living in sin. Hallelujah. For all whom the Lord will call, God is going to call you by name. Oh, he's going to call you regardless of if you make the choice to be baptized or not. He's still going to call you by name. You're still going to come to him one by one. Mama can't come with you. You can't hide certain circumstances. All will be revealed. Every minute, every second of your life will be revealed before the Lord. No, you won't even have to speak. You won't have to open your mouth. Just to be in his presence is all going to be laid out. You're going to see everything, every second of your life. All of it. No hiding, no excuses. No excuses. No excuses. Hallelujah. Verse 38, Peter replied. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we do have to understand that our baptism must be in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. If we're not being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we're wasting our time. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the Trinity. Three that makes one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has tri-anointed this ministry. We're tri-anointed ministries. We're in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And his anointing is within all, and it makes up one Godhead. One, three in one. Hallelujah. Three in one. All right. We're going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of our sins. We are all sinful natures. We're repenting that with the baptism. And we know, if you look at yourself and you've been honest with yourself, you know we got some things in our life that we need to be forgiven for. I don't want to die and have to face God with some of the things in my life that I've done, some of the things in my life that I've said, some of the things in my life that I may have destroyed somebody with. I don't want to go before my Father with that. I don't want to lay down every night with that. We need to repent of these things. Hallelujah. We need to repent of those things. So we need to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Our baptism gives us that right to come to our Father for forgiveness. You know, if you really want forgiveness, that means you've got you're willing to change your heart. You're willing to think about saying that thing to the next person before it just blurts out. You want to think now. I've already cut somebody with that sword. I don't want to do that again. Hallelujah. You want to think now. So you want to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. And then he says that you will. It didn't say that you might, but he said that you will. Every one of you, if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and ask for forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that will direct you, that will guide you, that will be your comforter, that will tell you, don't go this direction. That's not the way that you want to. You say, but I go this way every day. But the Holy Spirit will nudge you. You turn to the left because I said turn to the left. You go to the right because I said go to the right. No, don't visit that person's home tonight. Don't go there tonight. Don't eat this food today. You will receive the gift. It's a gift. Don't we get excited about gifts? Why are we not excited about the most precious gift of them all? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 39 says, now this promise is not just for you. He said, but this promise is for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He's going to call us all. So this is for all of us. It says, well, I've done this and I've done that. But it says, no one has done too much. He said, it's for all. It is for all. It is for all. So whatever it is that has you bogged down and tied up today, whatever it is that have you thinking that you could make it on your own, it's a lie. It's a lie straight out of hell. Because the enemy comes to kill you. He wants to steal all of your joy. He wants to steal your kids' joy. He wants to steal the relationships between mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, sisters and sisters, sisters and brothers, brothers and brothers. He comes to kill and steal those relationships. And he would want to destroy every part of you, every being in you, every fiber in you. That's why the biggest drunk can only drink for so long. And then he kills that too. He kills that too. He kills your liver. He kills everything inside of you that from working in a normal way, from working in a positive way to help you, all of that now he kills. He destroys it. Hallelujah. A crackhead can only do crack for so long until he's destroyed all of that too. You can only smoke cigarettes for so long because it's going to kill and destroy you too, because he's doing just what he told you he would do. He's going to kill, steal, and destroy from you. But you have a choice today. You have a choice to turn around and try something different. You have a choice to make a new beginning. You have a choice to believe and be baptized. Three in one. As we close today, please understand that it is not the act of baptism that saves us, but it is the act that you symbolize. It's the act that symbolizes how we are saved. It symbolizes how we are saved. Hallelujah. See, this invisible work of the Holy Spirit is very much visible. It's visibly dramatic, dramatized in the water. What you do in that water, it's that big of a deal. It's that big of a deal. So you say, well, I can just jump in the bathtub, and then I can just have my friend. But you got to be made sure that you got you got to have a head. Remember, we spoke of the head. So it's not just the act that saves you, but it's the act that symbolizes how we are saved. So that invisible work of the Holy Spirit is visibly dramatized in the water. So remove your shoes and bow your head and bend your knees. So this is a holy event. This is a holy event. You just can't come to Christ any kind of way. This is a holy event. Baptism is not to be taken lightly. This is a holy event. And then you say, well, I don't even know the Lord. I haven't even been introduced to the Lord. I don't even know how to begin this. Well, if you've never met my friend Jesus Christ, he is the greatest friend, the greatest comforter. He's the greatest healer that you will ever need in your life. And I'd just like to take the time to introduce you to him. Just introduce you to him. You said, I want to be saved, evangelist. I want to be saved. How do I start? You just repeat these words after me. If you're writing down your scriptures for today, let's go ahead and add this with it. It is Romans, New Testament, 10, verse 9 and 10. So Romans chapter 10, and then go to verse 9 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is just saying, read it. So let's just take a moment and go to it. Again, it is in the book of Romans 10. We'll start at verse 9 and read 9 and 10. It reads, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe. It is with your heart that you are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. Just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sin. Forgive me of all of my sin. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. Make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. So if you have not been baptized, now you need to pray to God to show me who, lead me to someone to baptize me, Jesus. Baptize me, Jesus. I want to follow your command. I want to follow you. I want to acknowledge and admit that I'm born into sin. But I want to be reborn into your Holy Spirit, into your righteousness. Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, it's also in the New Testament, it tells us that all things are passed away. And then he stops and gets your attention again, and he says, behold me. Behold, look at me. Because he just told you that all things are passed away. But you're thinking in your mind a drug dealer leaves that spot at 12. I got to hurry up and get there. But he's telling you to don't think about that. Now think about him. Behold. Remember my grandbaby holding up her arms to get the attention. This is your time. He needs you to hold up your arm because he's trying to get your attention. Will you seek him? He says, behold, all things have become new. All things are new. All things are new. Every piece of you, every patch of your skin is new. Newness now. Friend, you have a whole new life with Jesus right now to look forward to, starting right now. Right now is the time. See, your slate is clean before God. Your slate is clean before God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your slate is clean before God. Your spirit has been reborn. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and because of Christ's love for you. Hallelujah. Because of his great love for you. Please let me know of your decision to follow Christ. I'd be more than happy to help you in any way that I can. You can write me at, email me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can always send a message here at the Blog Talk Radio /Evangelist Von Dumas. You can call me at 210-277-0495 or 210-264-5287. Hallelujah. Just let us know of your decision. Let us know of anything that we can do to help you, direct you into the right way for a church in your area, in your city. God bless you. God bless you. Christ is thinking about you today. He's thinking about you, and he only wants the best for your life. He only wants the best for your life. You may be abused right now, but he wants the best for your life. He came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. In the midst of your troubles, just tell yourself, Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. God, that's your word. You say your word can't change. You say you can't lie. I'm not feeling abundance in my life. I'm not sinning. I'm abused. I'm weary. I'm lost. I'm hungry. Show me your way out of this here, because I know you have abundance waiting on me. Lead me to the abundance in my life. Pick me up from where I'm at right now. Lead me to the abundance in my life right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your honor. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for every soul that has decided that right now that they will believe and be baptized in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to look in every household and meet their need in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we worry not for our problems, because worry doesn't make it better anyway. But we can come to you with thanksgiving in our heart and love, and we just spread that love and joy throughout every person that we see and hear, regardless of what we're going through or what we're feeling. May we find a way to love someone else. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we want to thank you for taking out the time to pray with the ones that are sick and shut in. On our prayer list, we do have continuously for my mom, Miss Annie Pearl Harwell. We're continuously praying for her continuous healing, thanking you, Jesus, for what you've already done for her. We'll continue to pray for broken down marriages. We're continuing to rejoice and thank God for all the family members that we was able to see during the holidays and see that God is still in the blessing business. We're asking that you all pray for all of the inmates and all of the officials that is in charge in any way of the William P. Clemens Penitentiary. Anyone who works in that organization, any guard that is there, anyone who is there to make decisions, any inmate that is there, we just want everyone all week long, if you could just join in with me this week, or if you're pulling this out of the archives, you take from that day and go for a week, please. If you want to go longer, most definitely do. And please, we pray for any corruption, anything that is not of God that is going on inside of not just that penitentiary, but inside of any institution, dear Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm in prison right inside of my home. That's included in the prayer. And we ask continuous prayer over each one that is making decisions in these situations. any abuse, corruption that is going on. We stop it and block it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Corruption has to come to an end. Anything done in the dark will be brought to light in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask for continued strength, and we just push our favor towards the inmates, dear Father, that is hanging on. And we just call out the name of Richard Lawrence right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Richard Lawrence, as he sat behind those prison walls, as he sat behind and still meditating and trying to just pray and keep his mind on Jesus night and day, as those that come into his cell and try to violate or fight or whatever it is, we just, the guards that is standing behind and watching and sending people to do corrupt things, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And that's why we pray so hard. For before you get to these situations, do you know that it is inmates wishing they had another chance to turn around and do something differently before they put behind the prison walls? You are still here and you have an opportunity. But so many of us are choosing not to do the right things. You don't want to find yourself behind situations. If you could hear some of the things that I hear, you don't want to find yourself in that situation. And then you've got to wait and until your time, if you ever get released. Oh, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. We're praying for you all. We're praying for you, Brother Richard. We're praying for your wife and your son, your family. We're just thanking God for all of those that is coming to you right now to let you know that you're not alone. You're not alone. We pray for all of the ones that are behind bars that should not be. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you'll never leave us and you will never, ever forsake us. Hallelujah. Today may be the day that a lot of you decide that there's no need of crying. You want to be still and know that God is God. And that it's no need of continuing to worry about things that it can't make any difference. You can't do anything about it. So you may decide that you've cried your last tear yesterday. As we close you with the song by Mary Mary, Yesterday. God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Again, this is Evangelist Von Dumas with the Tri-Anointed Ministries. Believe, my sister. Believe, my brother, and be baptized. We love you, and God loves you more. We'll see you next time on the next broadcast. Don't forget to rate the show. We look forward to hearing from you. Bye-bye.